hurts and pains are dispelled in my presence. I'm referred to as the balm of Gilead. If you bring yourself to me, bring the hurt, bring the pain, bring the wounds, I'll heal. I'll make the pain go away, and I'll give you peace in its place. I will dispel the hurt and give you my joy. Come to me. Don't sit and hurt and despair. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me with all that baggage. Come to me. I'm waiting for you. You come to me, I can begin my work of restoration in you even this day. And you will feel new all over again. A time of preparation is at hand. I am getting ready to move in the Spirit, and my move will bring change to many things. I am looking for people in this church who will prepare themselves for me to use. I will only use those who desire to be chosen, but I want to share with you some of what it means to be chosen. Think about my son. There were many hundreds of people who heard him teach. There were many hundreds who had the opportunity to follow him, as did the disciples. For you see, just because only 12 were named as apostles does not mean that many more than that could not have been used by me. Consider those who were in the upper room in Jerusalem after I returned to the Father. There were about 120 gathered in my name, but there could have been many more. The reason there were not any more was because they did not want to be used by me as much as they professed. Remember, I gave an instruction to tarry in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father arrived. I would have poured out the Spirit on anyone who had chosen to obey me, but only a very few showed up. Now I want you to think about what it cost them to be in the upper room awaiting my Spirit's arrival. Every single one of them had to restructure their lives in order to be there. They had to make adjustments in their jobs. They had to pool their resources to help each other. They had to refuse their children certain activities. They had to change their daily routines. They had to make some very hard decisions and fight the desires of the flesh, which would have led them away from the upper room and the ultimate endowment of power. They waited and they waited, not knowing exactly what would happen. All they had was my word that the Holy Spirit would come and that they would receive power. I tell you, when that day came, they were overjoyed and glad they had persevered. And now once again, I will give my word. I will give it to this people. I am looking for those in this church who will create an upper room for themselves. I am looking for those who will restructure their lives in order to seek me. Some of you are doing good things for me, but it is not what you are to do at this time. As I said, I am looking for those who will create an upper room for themselves. I know these words will seem strange to some and confusing to others, so I will speak plainly. Some of you will be able to designate a place in your home as your upper room. Some of you will need to get away from your home and go somewhere else. I say that the place where you are this night can become your upper room. There are many rooms in this place you can use. I know of your jobs. I know of your families. And I know of your responsibilities. But every single one of you has more time available than you realize. For you to create an upper room is at first going to appear to be a great inconvenience. You have trained yourselves to live a certain way, and committing to an upper room will require living differently. Some of you have allowed your children and grandchildren to become a great hindrance in your life with me. You are allowing them to dictate too much of your time and it is taking you away from me. Just like those in the book of Acts, you must take authority in this area, or you will not receive my outpouring. I am looking for those who will create an upper room. Here is what to expect in your upper room. I will begin pouring myself into you at an accelerated rate. For you see, you who are already filled with my Holy Spirit, do not need another day of Pentecost to be filled. You need a life of Pentecost for a continual flow. In your upper room, you will learn to hear me more clearly than ever before. In your upper room, you will experience my presence in an almost tangible fashion. In your upper room, you will actually begin to feel my anointing flowing into you. In your upper room, you will experience the greatest change in me you have ever known. In your upper room, my love will become the strength of your life. In your upper room, you will begin to lose all of self and gain more of me. As this takes place, my anointing will flow more unhindered because you will no longer be in the way. You will sense such an awareness of me that you will simply act as I would act and think nothing of yourself in the process. Again, I am looking for those in this church who will create an upper room. It doesn't matter who it is, for I will accept all in my presence. In fact, I would that you all create an upper room and seek me. Many of you feel that you will not be able to do this because of all the things you are facing each day. But I say that it is in the upper room that you will receive deliverance and answers to your problems. My wisdom is waiting for you. My joy is waiting for you. My love is waiting for you. My very presence is waiting for you. The fullness of the knowledge of my plan for you is waiting. Come to the upper room. Receive from me the greatest outpouring you have ever known. I will meet you there. For I would have you know that even this day, you are not alone. For just as my prophet thought he was alone, and I told him that there were thousands more that had not bowed themselves before another God, I would have you know today that you are not alone. Yes, you feel alone. And you feel like, where are the others that believe these truths? Where are the others that are taking this stand? But I want you to know this day that there are thousands and thousands and thousands around this world. You don't know them, but they are there. And just as though in the natural, a pipeline were being built to connect one place to another so that there could be a flow of water or a flow of oil to reach from one place to the other. In the realm of the Spirit, there is a pipeline that is being built. And it is connecting in the Spirit one group to another, though you don't see them. And most of them you'll never know. Yet in the realm of the Spirit, through your seeking me, you are connecting with each other. And what is happening is this. It is creating a greater flow of my anointing throughout this world. And it is going to continue to increase as you continue to seek me. And this flow, it will not be stopped. It will only increase. And it's going to touch many, many lives. For you see, the flow ultimately is going to come forth from you. And it's going to come out of you and touch people around you and bring about times of refreshing. It's going to bring about times of deliverance, times of renewal. In fact, this flow will come through a person, and that person will not always know that it's happening. Because it won't be based on whether you feel my move in you. It's going to be based on the change that has taken place spiritually, which enables me to move. So I want you to be encouraged this day to know that that you are not alone, and that there are many, many others throughout this world who are seeking as you. And I would encourage you also to continue to seek me, to continue to intensify your seeking of me, and construct this spiritual pipeline, as it were, making it bigger and bigger for an ever-increasing flow of my power and my anointing and my grace throughout this world. I am moving. I am moving. And great things are happening, but there is more to come, and it will be greater still.
When you worship me, it isn't like you are moving me to do something in your behalf. It isn't like you have to move me to do anything for you, because I am willing. I always want to minister to you. What happens when you worship me is that you move yourself into a place in the realm of the Spirit where you can receive what I've already done for you. What's already been accomplished by my Son, Jesus. He's already made the way. He's already provided your healing. He's already provided your deliverance. Everything you need has already been done. When you worship me, you move yourself into the place where you can receive what I have already done for you. So just lift your hearts unto me and receive what I have done for you already. Oh, my children, I love you so. I love you like you can't even imagine. And I want so much to minister to your every need, to your every need. I am willing. I am willing. You must receive what I have given you already. You must touch me with your faith. Have I not said in my word that without faith it is impossible to please me? It's your faith that touches me. It is your faith that touches me. And it is your faith that releases unto you what I've already provided. I love you. Just receive what you need from me today.
The Lord would say there has been much talk about revival in these days. And it is more than talk. It is a spiritual reality. But now I would like to tell you something about this revival. Something that few have said. What happens in your church services is not what I had originally intended. You see, there are churches all over this world that are meeting on this day. And what they are doing in their buildings is not what I had planned. Now you listen to me as I share this. Listen closely to what I say. The pattern of a church service that is so typical in this country and in others was not implemented by me. You see what happened? Over the years, your pastors, your evangelists, others, they started listening to themselves and, in some cases, to the enemy. And their ears became dull to where they no longer heard me the way they should have. And so what has happened is this. Churches have devolved into something that is not the way it's supposed to be. Oh, yes, you are supposed to worship me and you are supposed to have the word. But you see, what I'm getting at is this. My anointing has been left out. And in most cases, plans, programs, formats, and emotions have become the substitute for my anointing. Over time, people have become accustomed to these emotions, to these plans, to these programs. To the point that some of them actually become upset if their church services aren't over by noon. Please remind me in my word where I told you that your church services should end by noon? Please show me in my word where you can find much of what you have seen, much of what has been demonstrated. Please remind me. You cannot, because it's not there. And some of you have actually gotten to the point to where you believe that a normal church service, one that I would call normal, is abnormal. You have actually come to the place of believing that it's too emotional, that there's too much of this and too much of that, that there needs to be more order. Oh, how you are confused. There is only order in a church service when my anointing is allowed to flow. And you think that if it doesn't follow a planned format, that it's not right. Some of you have witnessed this even in this church. There are those that have come, experienced, and left because there was too much singing. There was too much worship. Why, there was too long of preaching. There was strange stuff that happened at the ministry time when they prayed for people. Why, these aren't supposed to happen in church. These kinds of things aren't supposed to take place. I'll go find a church that's normal. Oh, do you have a lot to learn about me? Now, you listen. I am going to pour out judgment on these churches that call my name but leave me out. And don't let your mind wander as to what this judgment will be. It's going to come from me, not you. But it's going to come. But I will tell you this, in some cases, the judgment is not going to come until the leaders of these churches are standing before me in eternity. Now, you're going to have to make up your mind. Do you want a church where I am allowed to move, where I am free to release my anointing? Or do you want a church that meets the standards of your putrid religion? Do you honestly think you're blessing me with church as you've known church? Do you honestly think that this is what I'm after? You show up, you go through your motions, you leave. In my presence, that is a stench in my nostrils. You think you're doing something for me instead of letting me move through you. So hear me now. In these days to come, there is going to be included in this revival a return back to church services the way that I had originally intended. And it is not going to happen in every church, because there are some that are going to build a wall of resistance against me in my spirit so that they can maintain what they call order in their services. You do not want to be those people on the day you stand before me. And you do not want to be a part of those churches on the day that you stand before me. In this revival, more and more churches are going to start getting back in the flow of my anointing and the flow of my spirit. These things are going to happen. They have begun, but it's going to increase. And I would say unto you, do not become complacent in where you are now. There is more of me that you need to experience, and you must experience. So continue to press into me. Stop looking at what you think is the form and format. Refuse to allow yourself to become bored and distracted when you experience me. If you will submit to me, if any church will submit to me, truly submit to me, I will demonstrate myself in an awesome fashion. So hear what I say. Included in this revival is going to be a return back in the direction of my original intent for what a church service is all about. And it is my suggestion to you that you lay down your religion and you start listening to me. It is my suggestion to you that you find a church where I am allowed to move. Well, there are many throughout this country, throughout this world, who are just satisfied with the whatever. And to those who will hear this, no matter where you are, Better find a church that allows me to move. And to those of you who are in this place, again, do not become satisfied and complacent with the way things are, because there is so much more of me that I want to release in your midst. If you'll seek me and pursue me, if you will fight against the trap of falling into routine, you will experience me. So hear these words. Take them to heart. Do not dismiss them lightly, because now that they have been spoken, and now that you have heard them, you will be judged by them. Never forget, my word is to be the standard for all you do. For there is a greater glory that awaits you. Your understanding of my glory is limited by the knowledge you have about my glory. But I would say to you this night that my glory is spiritual in nature. Therefore, the greater understanding of my glory comes in the realm of the Spirit. When you see my glory manifested in your midst, it is because there has first been a spiritual work. And I say to you this night, for every one of you, there is a greater level of my glory that awaits you. I say to you, it is there. It is present. It is here. It is now. It is a greater level of my glory. But you don't understand what that means, because that understanding is a spiritual understanding. So in your soul, in your mind, you must accept this by faith. You must accept that there is a greater level of my glory, a greater level that you have not understood, a greater level that will do things that you have not anticipated, a greater level that you can experience. And I cannot go beyond these words that I am speaking to you this night, because until you experience this glory, you will not fully understand. So give heed to those things that you have heard this night. And if you will apply yourself, I want you to know that I stand ready to release this glory in you, so that this glory can be released through you and touch those people who are around you. I say to you this night, it will happen if you yield yourself to me and my work. There are some people in here who are struggling. There are some things in your life that you want broken. I'm going to use the word habits. And you're wanting God to help you. And here's what the Lord would say to you. The life that you received from Him when you accepted Jesus is all the deliverance that you need to break this thing. Because the life that you received from Jesus has not, cannot, nor ever will it be bound by any kind of habit or behavior that doesn't come from God. And He says that the thing that you must begin to do is, whenever you are at the place of yielding to the feeling of that habit, whatever it might be, you address that habit and declare, greater is the life in me than the hold you have on my body. And I declare your hold broken over my life. And I refuse to submit to what you want me to do any longer. You are defeated in my life in the name of Jesus. And the Lord says that if you will begin to speak to that habit and that behavior, whatever that is, and begin to release the power of His life in you against this thing, that this habit is going to be completely broken in your life. that you don't need to keep crying out and asking Him to break it for you. The power of His life in you calls it broken. And the Lord says, this is how you can begin to walk in your freedom. The Lord says that if you take a stand for truth, you must be prepared for what is coming. For Satan, even this hour, is watching you and watching your life. And if you truly take a stand for truth, he already has people that he has chosen to set along the path that you will walk. These are not lost people. These are Christians. And their purpose is to hinder you as you walk in truth. These people will argue with you. These people are going to want to criticize you. These people are going to want to slow you down to try to engage you in dialogue as they try to prove themselves right and refuse to hear what you have to say, arguing the things that you speak, taking my word out of context. For Satan is aware of some of the passages you understand and some that you don't understand. Be forewarned. He's going to look for people that he can use to confront you with passages that you don't fully understand yet. And this is an attempt to try and bring confusion into your life and discredit the stand that you're taking. For the passages that these people will use, they don't understand what they mean. They just know that they're in the Bible. So you need to be prepared for this. For some of you, these people are going to be people close to you, near to you, dear to you. And it's going to hurt you on the inside. But I want you to know that I will be there to strengthen you and help you through those times. But know this. If you stop to argue, you are going to slow down your progress in me. There are some people, the only thing that you can do is listen and respond in love. Let them have their say because their hearts and minds are hardened and they are not going to receive what you say. So do not waste your time arguing. You are not going to convince them. You are not going to change them. Don't waste your time arguing with them. Love them, but don't argue with them. Keep walking the path of truth. And as you do this, your life will change. And as your life changes, you will become more like me. And that change will be undeniable. Just like when I walked this earth and there were people who held that I was a prophet, though religious leaders did not, there are people that will look at you and recognize the change and see something very real in you. And even though that very real change will be apparent to those who have tried to hinder your walk, they will ignore it just like they ignored me. Just like they ignored the truth that was operating through my life. So again, I say to you, do not let yourself get derailed, and know ahead of time that some of these attacks that will come through people are going to be very, very subtle. And if you don't guard yourself and pray to be sensitive, you're going to get caught up in arguing with them when you didn't even mean to. There are some that are going to come back at you again and again and again and again and again. They're not going to let up. It's almost as though as you walk the path of truth, they're walking a parallel path of untruth. And they're trying to get you convinced that you're on the wrong path. So do not allow them to draw you aside. Respond in love. Let them see Christ in your eyes. Let them see me in your life. But do not let them hold you back. Now, if you talk to me and spend time with me, I will give you the wisdom on how to respond and how to do this without creating an offense. But you need to know, there are some people, their hearts are so hardened and their minds are so stiff that no matter what you do, it's going to become an offense. So you just keep your eyes on me and know this, that I have told you these things ahead of time. If you choose to truly walk the path of truth, remember, I said if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. So I've warned you ahead of time of what will come. Be strong, be bold in my might. Don't let it get to you. Don't let it hold you back. Because it will try to overpower your emotions. Worship me. Cast it on to me. Let me deal with it. But you keep following me. And as you do, you're going to walk into areas of truth and areas of my presence and my glory that you don't know exist. But they are out there right now on that path of my truth. So walk it and experience this and know me more than you ever have before, says the Lord. For many years ago, I began speaking through my servants, prophesying that there was coming a revival of teaching, prophesying that there was coming a day when truth and doctrine would be delivered as it would be in a way unparalleled since the beginning of the church. Those days are now taking place. For you see, throughout this world, I have voices that are refusing to compromise. I have voices that are speaking my truth, that are speaking forth the correct doctrine, and part of what they are doing is to correct what needs to be corrected. They are like seedlings. They are growing. They are the planting of the Lord. And they are becoming stronger and bigger because their roots are sunk in the glory of my truth. And their voices are starting to rise up. And their voices are starting to become more well known. There's also great resistance to this, but they are still growing and they are still speaking. Well, hear what this means. As greater and greater truth is being released, it is producing a higher standard of accountability in my body. And this means that those who are hearing the truth are going to be held accountable for the truth that they hear. And this is increasing. It is rapidly increasing. Because as more truth is being released, there are more of my voices who are hearing this truth and allowing themselves to be corrected. And they then are sinking roots in the glory of my truth and become another planting of the Lord, another seedling that is growing and speaking what I would have spoken. And this is growing. It is increasing. It is taking place at greater measure. And so is the accountability. And I would have you know this day that in the days and weeks and months, in the time that is coming up, the years that are coming up, this transition is going to increase. And my word to you this day is to make a decision to become a planting of the Lord. Is to make a decision to allow yourself to sink your roots into the glory of my truth. Let me feed you. Draw from me. Change in those areas that need to be changed. And let my truth become the governing factor of your life. But when you do that, the fullness of all that you can become in Christ will take place. So again, there are many voices in this world that are rising up, and they are speaking truth, and it is spreading. If you wish, you may call this a revival of truth. And oh, the wonderful, wonderful things that are accompanying this and will continue to accompany it, because remember, I work within my truth. And only my truth will I honor. So seek me, seek my truth. Don't seek man and what man has to offer. Grow in me and grow in my truth. And experience me and experience my glory, says the Lord. There are many of you on the right path. And you are growing in me, but you do not see the growth as I see it. You are so excited about serving me, about becoming what I want you to be. And you are making headway. But you have felt some frustration because you haven't felt as like the change is coming quick enough. But first off, I would like you to know that any change is for the good. And second, I want you to know that the change is taking place. For you see, when I work in you, I work in those areas that are a priority, the things that need to be changed first. And those areas are being changed. You are conforming to the image of my Son. So don't give up. Don't give up hope. Keep doing those things that you know you are supposed to do. Those things that cause you to change spiritually, because you are making progress and you are growing in me. And pretty soon, you're going to be able to see these changes. Pretty soon, you're going to notice the difference. And you're going to realize that change was taking place all along. You just didn't know it. So keep growing, keep being diligent, keep pursuing those things that will bring about the spiritual change in your life, and know this day that change is taking place. You are becoming more like me. For you have pleased me this night. Yes, I did arise to my rest. And your worship, it filled the place where I reside. And I want you to know that you have pleased me this night. But I will tell you what happened during your time of worship to me. For this night, as you began to praise me and you began to worship me, in the realm of the Spirit, you released cleansing waters. For you see, during your praise and worship, you were interceding on behalf of many people. And as you were worshiping, and as you were praising, and during that intercession, it was as though you were releasing cleansing waters. And those waters began to wash throughout this place. And they began to cleanse things, to remove things, to wash things away that needed to be removed. For you see, there are many people who have brought problems into this place, but instead of giving them to me, they have left them here. And it has created for some people an atmosphere that has interfered with their ability to receive from me.
But tonight, you have washed these things away. There has been a cleansing in this place through your worship. And I would have you know that in the days to come, you should spend other times like this worshiping me, because more things in the Spirit are going to take place when you do. You see, many churches have missed the importance and the need for balance. They assume the word balance applies only to doctrine, but I would have you know that the word balance, it applies to everything that you do. There needs to be a balance of teaching, and there needs to be a balance of worship. There needs to be a balance of ministry. All of these things need to be balanced, and in too many of my churches, there is a severe imbalance in the area of worship, in that there is a lack of praise and worship. But I would have you know you have done well this night, and you have pleased me. And you have also released in the realm of the Spirit an anointing that I had deposited into many of you. For those of you that have been seeking me, my anointing has been released into you. And as you have been worshiping, it is out of your worship that an anointing has been released in this place. And I would say in the days to come, remember this, because there is an anointing that is released as you praise me and as you worship me. For as I deposit into you, you then release in part through your praise and through your worship. So take this as an encouragement this night, an encouragement to know that these times of praise and worship are not just about singing songs, but it is about releasing out of your heart those things that you have received from me. So good things have happened this night. Good things have happened this night. And I want to thank you for setting aside this time to worship me. I want to thank you for coming to worship me. For you see, as much as you have enjoyed being in my presence, I have enjoyed being in yours. So I have blessed you this night. I have extended my hand upon you this night. And my blessings are upon you. And I want you to know there is more to come. You are on the threshold of greatness in the realm of the Spirit. Keep doing what you are doing. Keep doing what you know to do. And you're going to experience one breakthrough after another. One level of glory after another. For you see, I dwell in this place. And I do enjoy these times of fellowship that we have together, says the Lord. I'm seeing a big tower, one of those big, big cooling towers that they have at those nuclear power plants. Praise God. The Lord says, I want you to capture the vision of that kind of cooling tower. I want you to capture the vision of a big, huge cooling tower at a nuclear power plant. Envision the steam that comes up from that power plant. Now think about what that represents. Think about what that tower represents. For some people refer to it as a cooling tower. Others refer to it as a containment tower. And many of you know what happens if the water level in that containment place goes too low. The core will begin to overheat. And when the core overheats, it begins approaching even the very temperature of the sun itself. And as it does, if it is not checked, what happens is what you call a meltdown. The core becomes superheated to the point that it begins to melt everything around it. And it begins to release massive amounts of radiation. It begins to burn its way into the earth. And it creates great disaster. Now, think of that and hear what I have to say to you this night. There are many of you who are containment towers of my glory. The flesh has been containing the glory that I have been depositing into you. You have been seeking me, you have been praying, you have been in my presence. and more and more and more of my glory has been released into you in ever-increasing measure, in ever-increasing fashion. More and more and more of my glory has been released into you and released into you. And in the process, the flesh is beginning to go down. The flesh is beginning to recede. Just like the waters that are receding in a cooling tower before a meltdown, your flesh is beginning to recede and you're about to have a glory meltdown in your life. And here is what will happen. The flesh is going to recede to the point to where it can no longer contain the glory that's been deposited on the inside of you. And that glory is going to begin to burn with a fire of holiness and a fire of power. And my glory is going to begin to be released out of you, and it's going to begin to spread, and it's going to begin to burn through you. And when it comes in contact with the things of this world, it will vaporize those things. And when it comes in contact with the works of the enemy, it will completely burn those works. Burn them, I say. Burn them like chaff in a fire. You are coming close to a glory meltdown in your life, to where the flesh is going to be completely dissolved and my glory is going to be released, and you're going to see revival begin to take place in your midst. It will happen before your very eyes. And I say to you this night, continue to do those things that you know to do. Continue to do them. Because you see, as you give yourself to prayer, to fasting, to worship, to my word, then what happens is more and more of my glory is being released into you. More and more of my glory is being deposited into you. You are becoming a storehouse of my glory. And the flesh is receding. I see it in the spirit. The flesh is receding. Those things which hinder my glory from flowing, it is receding and receding and receding. So I say to you this night, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. Don't stop. Continue to do these things. Continue to see your flesh begin to recede, and you are going to begin to see my glory. For even now, in the realm of the Spirit, it is as though the steam is rising up from you like the steam rises from the top of those containment towers. It is the steam of my presence. It is like a Shekinah cloud of my glory that's being released out of you. But I tell you now, that cloud will give way to the brilliance of my glory in the realm of the Spirit if you continue to do what you know to do. So you be encouraged this night. Be encouraged this night to know that you are receiving a deposit of glory every time that you spend time with me. And the more that you have spent with me, the more of my glory has been deposited and progress is being made. And I tell you this night that the day is coming, if you will continue this, the day is coming when there is going to be a meltdown and my glory is going to be released in a way that this region has never seen. It will happen because it is my will, says the Spirit of the Lord. For I would speak to you tonight and tell you that too many of you have been caught up looking at what you don't see happening. But I'm going to tell you that there is even more that you don't see. It's in the realm of the Spirit. Well, you're looking in the natural for some things, and you're not seeing these things in the natural, but I want you to know that I am working some things in the realm of the Spirit that you don't see. And you have entered into, you're crossing a threshold, entering into a new level with me here in this place. You're leaving some things behind. And some of those things that you're leaving behind are people. It's because of what they have chosen, not you. But you're right now at that threshold, as though you are stepping from one room into another. From one place into another. You're crossing over the threshold now into a new level of a work that I'm doing in this place. And so I speak to you this night to be encouraged.
I speak to you this night. Don't lose heart. Don't give up your faith. Don't stop. I speak to you this night to let you know that what I need from you is your commitment to me. What I need from you is your willing heart to sell out totally and completely to me. For it is you that I work through, the people in this place. And because of those of you that have enabled me to work through you, that have allowed me to work through you, you have now come to this threshold. Continue what you've done. Increase. Be very, very aware of the genuineness, reality, and depth of the commitment that you have made to me. How much of your life you truly have committed to me. Ask me for what I see and I'll show you. I'll show you what I see. And the more of you that you give over to me, the more of your life that you totally yield over to me and sell out to me, is how I'm going to be able to work more and more through all of you. So know this night, you have reached a place of a threshold and you are crossing over into a new place. And all the glory that awaits you there. There are things awaiting you that you have never experienced in this place. I've already filled the room with everything necessary. Continue doing what you're doing. Step beyond the threshold into the room and experience the fullness of what that room holds for you. For the path that I have you on is a path of victory. It is a path of success. It is a path of my divine will. There are many in my body. Oh, so many. They wonder if they are on the path that I have set before them, or if they are on their own path, or maybe even on the devil's path. But I would say to you this night that even though there are far too many that are off the path that I have set before them, there are many who are on the path that I have laid. Many of you have been deceived over the years, and you have walked a path that you thought was of me, but it was not of me, but you were deceived by those who taught you. And they pointed you in directions that weren't directions that I had established. And they told you of things to do that would help you accomplish what I have set before you. But you did not fully know what I had set before you. And the things that they told you to do were not things of me. And so for years, with a sincere heart, you truly sought to serve me. You loved me, and you only wanted to do what I desired. But many of you have come to the place of realizing that you were off track. In some cases, you had one foot on my path and one foot on another. And when you try to walk those two paths, eventually they begin to separate. One goes one direction, one goes mine. And as they separate, and you continue to try and walk both, your legs begin to spread apart. And eventually there becomes discomfort. And eventually there becomes pain. And eventually there becomes internal strife. Then, when you realize that you've been walking partially on the right path and partially on the wrong one, and you decide that you want to get back on the correct path, it is going to take a time of adjustment. It's going to take a time of learning to hear me all over again. And in some cases, learning to hear me afresh, for you never really heard me the way that you thought you were. And as you go through this time of adjustment, it is going to be a time of discomfort. But eventually, you will get back on the path, totally and completely, the path that I have set before you. For you see, everyone who becomes born again, at the moment that they are born again, they are all on the path that I have set before them. But it is following wrong direction. It is following wrong teaching, which can get people off the right path. But for those of you that continue to seek me, And those of you that continue to desire only what I have for you, if you will seek me with all your heart, if you will do those things that you know which will produce spiritual growth in you, you will end up on the path that I have set before you. You will end up right in the middle of that path, not straying to the left or straying to the right, but you will end up right in the middle of that path, and you will walk that path because, you see, I am on that path. And I will take you by the hand, and I will lead you step by step by step every way I need you to go into the perfect fullness of my will for your life. And in the process of walking this path, you are going to experience one victory after another. You are going to experience one level of anointing after another. You are going to experience ever-increasing glory. You are going to experience my presence more and more and more. And you are going to see things happen that you do not know are going to happen. You're going to see things happen that you did not think would ever happen to you in your life. But I'm telling you, when you are walking with my hand in yours, your hand in mine, you will walk on the waters of adversity and you will conquer in this life. You will be led by me and you will see success, and it will astound the kingdom of darkness, because you see, the kingdom of darkness thinks it can hold you back. For the kingdom of darkness is deception personified. But I say you can walk free from all forms of deception and walk totally and completely in my truth. If you will continue to seek me, these things will become real for you. If you will continue to seek me, then you will be firmly established on this path. And the day will come, and you will look back and wonder, how could I ever have been off of this path? And you will even laugh at yourself, at the amusement of how easily you were deceived so many years ago. But I say that my truth, abiding on the inside of you, will continue to guide you and direct you. So seek me. Continue to seek me. Continue to go in the direction that I am leading you. Please hear me. Do not dismiss these things that you have heard. Abide in me and abide in my presence and abide in my glory. Abide in my truth and experience me and walk the fullness of what I've called you to do. Walk out the path of your life. Walk out the path of your calling. And you will see great and mighty things in this life. For I will be there with you every step of the way, says the Lord. The Lord says, I know the heartache that you've gone through. And I know the pain and the frustration. For you see, you're my children. And when you hurt, I hurt. When you experience displeasure, I experience displeasure. And oh, how my heart aches, how it breaks for you when you go through these periods, these times where you feel so forsaken, so forgotten, so frustrated. But I want you to know that I have never taken my eye off of you, nor have I ever taken my hand off of you. I know the disappointments that you've gone through. You've gone through much frustration. And the longer that this has gone on, the more that your vision has become clouded and you haven't seen me clearly. And you have made some decisions that were hasty, decisions that were not of me, but you thought they were. But I tell you tonight, this can be an evening of change for you. This can be an evening of release from you. For you see, things have been built up on the inside. Things that have caused you to wonder exactly what I am doing. But I want you to know that tonight can be a release of those things. I am here to minister my grace to you. I am here to minister my grace to you in a way to where it is going to feel like a cleansing taking place on the inside. There is going to be a release for you. And if you will yield to this work that I want to do to you and in you this night, then you will leave this place changed. You will leave this place with a clearer vision of what I have for you. You will leave this place almost feeling like there's been a fresh start. You will leave this place and there will be a renewal in your fellowship with me. You will leave this place, and it's as though you're going to begin hearing me all over again and knowing what I want you to do. So I want you to know this night, I am the God of your peace, and I am the God of your comfort, and I am the God of mercy. I am the God of love, and I have not forgotten you. And I want you to know that there are great things ahead for you, that there are wonderful, wonderful things laid out before you. This is just a detour that you've entered into. You've stepped into, like it were, a dead end. But tonight is the night of turnaround. Tonight is the night to get back on track. Tonight is the night to receive from me a washing, a cleansing, a renewal on the inside to help you get back on track and to help you begin to experience me in a new way, in a fresh way, in a wonderful way, in a glorious way. So receive from me this night. Receive what I want to do. Receive this touch from my spirit and experience me anew. Experience me afresh. Experience my love. Experience my peace and my strength. And you'll leave this place tonight renewed, says the Lord. Well, there are many things happening in the world today. Many things that are causing men's heart to faint, just as I said in my word. For this world is facing threats, danger, and disaster unlike any other period in all of history. For never, never has man had in his hands weapons with such capabilities as what now exist. For you see, in days of old, men had to fight looking each other in the eye. The fighting, the battle, it was up close. It was one-on-one. Wars could not be carried on from a distance. But you live in a day and time when wars can be fought and won without one soldier leaving his home country. This has never been heard of until this time. And there are greater threats on the horizon. Yet these things have all been prophesied in my word. Did I not say that days of sorrows would come upon you? Well, you have not entered into the days of sorrows. Not yet. But you are at the beginning. Things are going to get worse. But I want to say to you what I've already said in my word. Do not look to the left. Do not look to the right. Do not let your heart be troubled by the news reports. Do not let your heart be overcome by fear because of the reports of war and weapons. Look to me and know that I knew these days were coming before the foundation of the world. And because of that, I have already prepared for you all the peace that you will need during these days. Yes, challenging times are coming. But I say, if you will look to me and not let your heart be caught up and be overburdened by the fear of what might be, you will have my peace. Look to me. Look to me and walk in my peace. Because you see, out of that peace that you walk in, you will be able to minister to others. Because many people are going to face great fears because of these things that are coming. But you are my children and you have access to my peace. So look to me. Receive my peace. Let it flow through you and touch people around you. In doing this, you are going to draw people to the cross of my Son, and His blood will cleanse them, and they will enter into my kingdom, says the Lord. Much has been said about Islamic terrorists. Much has been said about the Muslim world. Satan, your enemy, as you know, is behind the terrorism. As you know, he is behind the destruction. For they believe that they are worshiping me, but they aren't. Some of them truly believe they are worshiping me, but they aren't. And you know that. For I do not lead people to do the things that have been done. But your enemy has been very successful in drawing the attention of the world to the terrorism. He has been so successful in this that the attention has been directed totally and completely on the destruction. But now let me tell you what you don't know. There is a great revival that is taking place even this moment in the Muslim world. Thousands and thousands of them are coming to my son Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
Even this night, my glory is still sweeping throughout their land, because you see, the destruction that is taking place is taking place more among them than it is outside their own world. And great fear has begun to grip many of their hearts. This is something that the enemy had not planned on. Because you see, that fear is not driving them away from me, it is driving them toward me. And the enemy is greatly alarmed over this, for he is seeing thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of Muslims running out of his grip and into my arms. Even this night, populations in Muslim countries are turning to my son Jesus. This is something that is not being reported to you, because the enemy is fighting hard to make you believe that all is lost. But I say to you this night, all is not lost. Great and wonderful things are happening that you do not know and you have not seen, that your news agencies are not reporting, because they don't care. So I will tell you. Again, thousands and thousands and thousands of them are coming to know my son Jesus Christ. Rest in this knowledge and know that what the enemy has meant for destruction is now turning against him in his own camp. And this revival is not finished. It is not over. For you see, man's doctrines have not yet penetrated into this revival. And so you must continue to pray over this. Continue to pray for my truth to penetrate into those lands, behind enemy lines, as it were. And take this to heart, that many of those that you thought were not being reached are being reached. And great things are happening. Hear me, says the Lord, I will not lose. Through your worship, you create a habitation for my presence. Through your worship, you open up a dimension of the Spirit wherein my glory is released. Through your worship, you open up the door for miracles. Through your worship, you open up the door for me to take up a seat in your presence, dwell in your midst, to touch you with my compassion and my grace. Through your worship, you enter into the divine. For a heart that pours out its love and affection to me is a heart with which I fellowship. The greatest hindrance to evangelism is not money, is not a lack of missionaries, it is not a lack of buildings, it is not persecution against Christians who would share my gospel. It is not any of these things. The greatest hindrance to evangelism is unbelief. unbelief in the things I have said in my word. There has only been one time in history when my church walked in perfect unity. It was on the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts chapter 2, and in the time which followed that day. You see, at the beginning, all new converts feasted on the apostles' doctrine, and the apostles received their doctrine from me. As my church grew, there were those who had received the apostles' doctrine, but started ministering to others before they had heard more of that doctrine. By only hearing part of what I gave my apostles, these people preached and taught the part they had heard, but they began speculating about things beyond what they had heard. This is how my church began to divide. Over time, the apostles began to be outnumbered by the others who had begun to preach and teach. The foundation of truth was there, but there was a great mixture of human reasoning and religious practice added to that truth. If you read closely to what the apostles wrote in my word, you will see that this is what they were fighting. This has carried forth to the present. The same things are going on. Churches have my truth in my word that they hold in their hands, but instead of receiving from my apostles who wrote what I gave them by my Holy Spirit, they receive what their teachers tell them my apostles wrote. If you read my word, you will note that even the apostle Paul had to refute what people claimed he said and deny writing letters that some said he wrote. Today, those who truly receive the truth written by my apostles are far outnumbered by those who deny and teach against some of that truth. There is so much division that it makes it very difficult to work through my church. For you see, I can only work through the truth that I have established. Do not misunderstand and think that I have said that evangelism is not taking place. It is taking place, but it is taking place out of division, not unity. Did I not say in my word, in Ephesians chapter 4, that I want my church preaching and teaching the same thing, walking in unity of doctrine? Consider how effective evangelism would be if everyone in my church believed the same thing. You have an example of this in Genesis when I said that those at Babel would be able to do anything they purposed because they were all of the same language. If my church were all of the same doctrine, the effectiveness of your evangelism would be multiplied many times over, and you would be much further along in reaching the world with the gospel. So take note of this. Listen closely to what I say. The greatest hindrance to evangelism is unbelief in my word, unbelief in the truth I have established for my church. Since my truth is only contained in my word, then it is to your benefit to get in my word and receive what I have said. Accept my truth and walk in unity with me. You can do my works because you have my nature in you. When my son said I was with him, what did he mean? How was I with him? You know I was not with him in a physical sense because he was the only member of the Godhead with a natural body. I was with him spiritually, in that he and I shared the same life and nature. This is what he was speaking of in John chapter 17. In that chapter, he prayed that I would be with you as I was with him. This is what it means when he prayed, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. As my son did my works, you can do my works. As I anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power, I can anoint you with the Holy Ghost and power. For you see, you are my sons, even as he was my son. I look at you no differently from the standpoint of you belonging to me. Now I ask you, how did my son do my works? In fact, I will ask you, who actually did the works? My son or me? For you see, in some places of my word, it says that he did the works. Yet in other passages, he said it was me doing the works. So, which was it? Him or me doing the works? I will tell you. Think very closely to what is said in my word. I anointed my son with the Holy Ghost and power. He then went about doing my works. I did not anoint his flesh, I anointed his spirit, my life in him. Had I not anointed him, he would still have had my life, but not the anointing of the Holy Ghost and power. It was out of my anointing on his life that he was able to do my works. I anointed, he did the works. This is what he meant when he said that the Father dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. I dwelled in my Son by my life, by my anointing, and by the Holy Spirit. Apart from me, he could not do my works, but apart from him, I could not have my works done. This is something which has escaped the religious mind. I needed my Son in the earth so my works could be done. Otherwise, I could have completed my works with Adam, Moses, David, and others who loved me and served me. But they did not have my life, so they had nothing I could anoint with the Holy Ghost and power. The key to this is my life, not the Holy Ghost and power. You see, the Holy Ghost has always been around. My power has always been around. My anointing has always been around. But I needed someone on earth possessing that which I anoint, my life. When my son was on the earth, I finally had someone through whom I could work. This is why I tell you that you can do my works, because you have my nature in you. I do not work with your nature, meaning I do not work with you in the area of your soul, because that is what most of my children live by. They live by what they can understand with their mind, what they can reason out with their senses, what they can rationalize with their intellect. This is why nearly all of them live without my anointing, and many of them live without the indwelling presence of my Holy Spirit. They rationalize and reason themselves right out of my anointing and out of doing my works. You can do my works because you have my life and my nature in you. It is my life in you that I anoint. It is my life in you that my Holy Spirit communes with. It is my life in you which makes you one with me. The more you learn to think and reason with my life, the more the supernatural will seem natural. My son never hesitated to minister to even the most difficult of situations. To him, my anointing on my life in him could accomplish anything. And notice, he never asked me to do the works. He did what he knew I wanted done. This is how your life can be. It is my life in you that I will anoint with the Holy Ghost and power. You can be like my son, going about doing good and healing and delivering all who are oppressed of the devil. Yes, I said you can be the ones doing these things. Just like I was with my son, I will be with you. I anoint, you do the works. But you must come to believe that you can open blind eyes and deaf ears, cause the lame to walk, the mute to speak, the sick to rise, cause the maimed to be made whole, cast out devils, and even raise the dead. Yes, again I say, it is you who can do these things. Too many of my children have refused to believe this. They say, nobody can do those things but God alone. But this is spoken out of ignorance of what I have said in my word. Again, I say it is my power, anointing my life that dwells in you, which enables you to do the works. Do you not understand that just as I needed my son in the earth to do these things, I need you in the earth to do these things? Without me, you cannot gain this power. But without you, there is no one to anoint. So know this day that I say you can do my great and mighty works as I anoint my life in you. You must believe this, and you must begin seeing yourself accomplishing these things. Hear me well. There are no exceptions. Every one of my children has this potential. It is you who make yourself the exception by not believing these things and by not seeking both my presence and fellowship with my Holy Spirit to receive my anointing. I anoint those who seek me with all their heart. Remember, this anointing is administered by my Holy Spirit. Those who refuse to receive my Holy Spirit and those who refuse to fellowship with my Holy Spirit cannot walk in the anointing of my Holy Spirit. Let my word be your path. Let my word be your standard. Accept what I have said and reject the contradictory doctrines of men. Allow me to anoint my life in you and then go forth to do my works. Many times the answers and the deliverance that you seek are not the answers and the deliverance that I will give you. For you see, it's difficult for you to comprehend what lies beyond your problem. And in some cases, the answers that you pray for would bring about more problems in the future. This is why in every situation you face, you need to pray not just for answers, deliverance, and solution. You need to pray for my wisdom. Because as you walk in my wisdom, you'll walk with a greater understanding of my deliverance. You'll walk with a greater understanding as to how my answers can manifest in your life. But I can also, through this wisdom, give you a glimpse into what I see. And how that in some cases the answers you want are not the answers you need. So when you come to me for deliverance from a problem, ask me for my wisdom. Ask me to help you see what I see. Ask me to help you look beyond your selfishness to see how my answer and deliverance can impact all of my kingdom for the purposes of my kingdom for all eternity. In other words, allow me to help you change your perspective. And when you do, I say to you this day, things will become much clearer for you, and it will also help you walk in patience while the answers and deliverance are being ministered. So take to heart what I have said this day, for what I have spoken is exactly what my body needs to hear to help you as you live day to day and win the victories that I have already won and am waiting to give you, says the Lord. The Lord says, it is my will to reveal myself. But over the years and over the centuries, slowly but surely, a curtain of religion has been closed in front of me. And now I have so many of my children who are looking at that curtain, because on that curtain there is an image of me that has been painted. So they look at that and they believe that they are seeing the fullness of who I am and what I am. But I say to you tonight, it is my desire for that curtain to be opened. That curtain will be opened for every person who truly seeks me and desires to know me in the fullness of who I am. For you see, I never hold anything about myself back. But religion will close me off to you. And I want you to know that for every person who truly seeks me with all their heart, they will find me, for I have said this in my word. The struggle is coming to the place of realizing that the curtain you've been looking at is not really the fullness of my image, not the fullness of me. But if you will stay in my presence and keep seeking me, slowly but surely, that curtain can be pulled back And when you begin to see the truth about who I am, you are going to rejoice in your spirit. For you will have a revelation of my glory and a revelation of my truth and a revelation of my love like you have never experienced before. I say, listen to me. Let me guide you. I will take you into regions of my spirit where you have never visited. Do not let the curtain stay before you. Do not let it close you off to me. For you see that curtain, it also acts as a filter to the things that I would say. And many of my words are filtered out. But when the curtain is pulled back, nothing gets filtered. Though what I'm saying this night may sound easy, it is one of the most difficult things for my children to do. To stop trusting in a curtain of religion and part that curtain in the middle and enter into my presence. But if you will do this, you will find me in a way in which you have never known. There is so much that I want to give you